Things I just don't understand. I must recount your faithfulness and the mercy of your hand. When everything is said and done, and there's nothing left to say, the cross of Christ is proof enough you are good. You are good.
Good Lord, you are good. hand of God. How sweet to be the friend of God. Oh, to be a friend of God. How sweet to be. Lord, we worship you today. We are so grateful, Lord. You are the lover of our soul and the keeper of our heart. And we know, God, that you are with us. Your presence is with your people. God, you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are there. You said in Psalm 16 that in your presence is fullness of joy, and it is your joy that gives us strength. And we know, God, you manifest your presence to your people to where we can feel your anointing and your glory and your power. Sometimes it's like a gentle wind, and other times it's like taking hold of an electric wire that doesn't hurt. Lord, we thank you that you manifest yourself to and through your people. You speak to your people. You show us things to come. You lead us and guide us by your Spirit, and you lead us into all truth. Lord, you expose everything. Everything you said would be exposed. Everything spoken in secret would be shouted from the rooftops. And we're living in that time for sure. We're just grateful that we know the one who created everything. We know the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. We know the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray this morning. Amen. Whew. I feel his presence here today in a different way. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. Yeah, if you want to praise him, go ahead. Clap. You know, clapping is a form of praise. Raising your hand. Shouting. I'm a shouter. You know, after severing my Achilles, I'm not much of a dancer, but I'm a shouter. I can't even hop good anymore. I used to hop. You know, I was thinking about that song right there, Lover of My Soul by Lyndall Cooley, and that was one of my favorites. When I'd go to the Brownsville Revival, and I was thinking about that a minute ago. I'm going to share something the Lord just shared with me, just kind of spoke to me, because when I think about Brownsville, I think about more than most things, standing in that line wrapped around a building down two or three blocks down the road. I think about that often. But the Lord told me the next time they'll be lining up at the church is when all hell breaks loose upon us. That'll be the next time. I don't think there'll be any more revivals while things are nice and easy upon us. I'm thankful the Lord is letting us ease into this tribulation kind of easy. But he told us it would be like birth pains upon a woman with child. So we know that those get worse and worse and quicker. So that's where we're headed. I want you to turn with me first this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Get a little wisdom before we get started. Go to Ecclesiastes, and then we're going to go to Proverbs. Because I have to say, I kind of come this morning to church with a bit of a heavy heart. Because there's just so much happening. There's so much going on. There's so much evil going on. We're truly in the days of Noah, as Jesus said, the last days would be like the days of Noah. And one of the things, if you go back to Genesis 6, he says that violence would fill the earth. Violence and murder and hatred, it's just unreal. What's happening now? But Ecclesiastes 1:18 says this, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow." I remember when an old preacher pointed this out to me one time, because it seemed like the more I was learning about how things really were, the more heavy and grief and sorrow that was coming upon me. And sometimes this is why a lot of people say, "I don't want to know. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Ignorance is bliss." Well, ignorance may be bliss, but ignorance will get you killed and get you into hell. That's how, you know, God wants us to pursue his knowledge, truth, in everything, in His Word and what's going on in the world, God wants us to know the truth. But you have to understand that knowing the truth will bring grief and sorrow to you, because the truth is not always pleasant, is it? Especially the truth about what's going on in this world. It seems like so much information is coming out so fast that I can't even keep up with it all. But I do want to go read. We'll come back to Proverbs in just a second. But I do want to go read. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. I don't even know what to call this morning. I guess we'll know when it's over. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Let's see where we want to start here. We'll start from verse 1. It says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And he says this, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness, you shall be heard in the light. And that which has been spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I forewarn you, you whom shall you fear? Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Then he goes on to talk about how, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them are forgotten before God? And even the very hairs of your head are numbered." I guess the Lord has it easy with me. "Fear not, therefore, you're of value, you're more value than many sparrows." Why is it, do you think, that here Jesus talks about the revealing of truth, everything spoken in darkness, everything hidden, coming out, and the next thing he tells us is to not be afraid of those who can kill the body? Because, folks, I'm going to tell you, in this end time, the end time is nothing but about lies and deception and murder. And anybody that tells the truth in a time of lies is the enemy of the state. You hear me? The enemy of the beast world antichrist system. If you dare to tell the truth, if you dare to tell the truth about something in science or medicine, we're finding out you are public enemy number one. No matter how many credentials you have on your wall, you will be vilified, lied about, denigrated, pushed away to the edge, and called the fringe. The truth is hated. Anything that exposes their lies, their agenda, the deception, that's killing people. If you dare expose it, if you're a doctor with the greatest credentials in American medicine, and you dare expose their lies, they will try to destroy you, destroy your reputation, take your license. People are getting fired now for daring to say, "No, I know the truth, and I'm not giving in to the lie," and people are losing their jobs left and right. The truth is hated. And that's why Jesus said in the midst of this, because God's people are supposed to be people who expose the lies. We're always the ones that are supposed to be shining the light on the lies. You got the article about the evangelicals? Can you put that picture up for me? The attack on evangelicals. You need to see this. Just like a few months back in 2020, when they were trying to blame churches for the spread of COVID-19, didn't matter how many people went to Lowe's or Walmart, but don't dare go to church because the church was a super spreader. But they could go to a DNC meeting right? They could go to their little parties, their little galas. Look here. It's time to stop rationalizing and enabling evangelical vaccine rejection. Again, here we go. Let's blame the evangelical. Let's blame the church. I got news for them. It's not only the evangelicals that are rejecting this vial of poison that they have, that now we're seeing have little nanobot creatures in them that look like something from the Matrix. Yeah, that's in your body if you took that thing, that vaccine. There's a little creature, little nano computer. The truth always comes out, folks. And Jesus said, think about it. We're running out of time. We're at the end of the age, the last of the last days, the last of the last years. I believe we just have a few more years. And we're running into this time, and Jesus is the one who said, everything hidden is going to be revealed. Everything spoken in darkness. Everything is going to come to light. This is why we have whistleblowers coming out. This is why, like Dr. William Thompson, CDC scientist, doctor, came out just a few years ago, and told the truth that they had done the studies that connected the ingredients in regular vaccines, the mercury and the aluminum, to autism. They had the studies, and they watched them shred them up and throw them in the trash. He testified to this. This was spoken about on the floors of the U.S. Congress. But do people listen? No. But did the truth get out there? Oh, yes. More and more whistleblowers are coming out. Just heard attorney Thomas Rentz. How many of you heard of him? Rentz-law.com. This lawyer's going after them for these lies. He's got documents, and whistleblowers. He just got a whistleblower come out of the Medicaid Association and bring the data out. He's got the documents from the Medicaids, the Centers for Medicaid. Guess what? Tens of thousands of people who are on Medicaid. It's 18% of our population. Tens of thousands of them. I think it's around 48,000. Some, the majority over 80, a lot under 80, died within 14 days of taking the COVID-19 vaccine. That's Medicaid data on their website, screenshots downloaded with a whistleblower to go with it. But yet the FDA and the CDC are saying no one's died from it. That's what the media puts out. Lies. We are surrounded by lies and liars. And what's amazing is they don't care how many people die. As long as the agenda, this New World Order, Luciferian agenda, gets pushed forward and they get money out of it. That's all they care about. They don't care about you. They don't even care about some of their own. Because they just want to claw their way to the top of the mountain of bodies. That's all they're doing. But the Lord's not going to have that, because he's going to come. And he said, don't fear them that can kill your body. Don't be afraid. They might succeed in killing some of us. But the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who died on the cross for the sins of mankind and rose from the dead, is coming back again, and he's going to deal with all these wicked murderers and these people that are greedy for money, that mammon is their god. Money is their God. He's going to come back and deal with every single one of these wicked people. There's going to be no escape. They think they're getting away with this stuff. They're getting away. So they are getting away with mass murder right now. We're watching mass murder happen. You do understand that. But the Lord says, don't fear them that can kill the body, but rather fear him which hath power to cast into hell. What is Jesus talking about hell here? Is that in the red part of your Bible? My Bible's got the red part here. You don't hear megachurch pastors talking about hell, but Jesus did. In fact, in the King James Bible, if you look up the word hell, It appears 21 times in the New Testament. Now, it's described in other ways other than hell, but 21 times just the word hell is used. Guess what? 14 of the 21 is Jesus speaking himself in the red part of your Bible. So Jesus talked about it more than anybody else. Why did Jesus talk about hell more than anybody else? Because he didn't want you to go there. He wanted you to know exactly what it's about. Luke 16 doesn't describe it as being annihilated. The rich man that went to hell was fully conscious of everything that was going on. He was tormented in the flame. He begged for one drop of water. One drop of water. And he wanted to go back and tell his brothers, don't come to this place. This is what Jesus taught. And he says, don't fear those who want to kill you in this world because you're a truth person. Because you're all about the truth. And who is the way, the truth, and the life? The Lord Jesus. Jesus is all about the truth, and Satan is all about the lies. And he says, you, Jesus people, tell the truth. Expose the lies. Be the light of the world. Do not fear those who may kill the body, but rather fear him. Fear God, who has the power after someone is killed or someone has died to put you into hell. Don't get put into hell. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't get put into hell. Because these people that are killing folks, that are murderers, are going to be put into hell forever. The wicked will go into hell. Psalm 7 is very clear about that. The wicked will go into hell. Murderers, 1 John chapter 3, do not have eternal life abiding in them. But Jesus said in John 16, 2, he said, the day will come that people will kill you and think they're doing God a service. We got Christians right now pushing this vaccine, saying the unvaccinated shouldn't be treated by doctors, don't even have the right to live anymore. Christians saying this stuff. Christians thinking that we're the bad folks for exposing the lies and not wanting to inject their poison into us. Or go along with the system. Go along to get along. No, that's over with. It used to just be, you know, go along and, you know, so you look like everybody else so people wouldn't talk bad about you. Now it's about losing your job or maybe your health or maybe your life. They're not going to tell you. We will never know how many people have actually died and will die from this vaccine. We will not know because people are having strokes and heart attacks and it's just being labeled, oh, they just died of a stroke and a heart attack. It won't be connected. The vast majority won't be connected to the vaccine. Project Veritas, though. Project Veritas. Four-part series just came out. Real journalism. And they busted a department. Think of that. A Department of Health and Human Services hospital. Federal. The nurses are federal workers. This is a federal hospital for Native Americans. Right? The doctor, Gonzalez, is in there saying the vaccine is full of beep. And then they've got a patient they're talking about that's in another room, and they start describing his symptoms, and the doctor goes, yeah, he has myocarditis, and he's now in congestive heart failure, and it's from the vaccine. She goes into his room. She's still filming. The doctor does not tell him that it's from the vaccine, nor do they report to VAERS that they're legally obligated to report. Neither do they report that this is because of the vaccine. And then she tells him, we're going to have to transfer you to another hospital because we don't have cardiologists here. The man got the vaccine and now has myocarditis. Well, guess what? Myocarditis was on the original list of side effects of these vaccines, which they didn't put in any insert to give you informed so you could have informed consent. No, they hid this from us. Dr. Robert Malone, I've said this many times, Dr. Robert Malone, the co-inventor of the mRNA technology, said plainly, the vaccine is not safe,
and the government is not telling you the truth. They're not being transparent about the side effects, one of which was death. Funny, it wasn't listed first. Death as a side effect. Let's see. 99.9% chance of surviving COVID. Take a vaccine, which one of the side effects might be a fatal episode. Don't you like how they reword these things? A fatal episode. No, thank you. I'll take my chances. Yeah. Yeah. Here's the funny thing. Now, doctors Peter McCullough, cardiologist, top in the world, right? Now they're trying to vilify him. Well, he just flat out says, if you've had it, you're good for decades. You don't need a vaccine. In fact, if you take the vaccine, you're going to make yourself, you're going to have worse side effects if you've already had COVID and you take it, right? But these doctors are being silenced. We've had the Alabama Press, AL.com, an Alabama political reporter, vilify the doctors in Alabama that are treating patients. And the doctor's name that saved my life's on there. And they're threatening to take away their license for treating people, for saving people's lives. But folks, just this week, we know of people that have died in the hospital because their protocol is to put them on a ventilator and hope for the best when they know that's not going to work and give them nothing. And you know, folks, I know I've talked about this a lot, but when people are dying and they don't have to be dying, you've got to expose that evil. You've got to talk about it. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. This is the one I wanted to go to a minute ago. And I'm just saying, I think every one of us should be doing everything in our power to get the truth to people. You know, when I was in Montgomery and had a church in Montgomery, we also had a Christian school. And I just got a text message yesterday about a young lady who was in the school that I knew. She's only 38 now, and she is in critical condition in ICU with COVID on a ventilator. And I told them, I said, if she doesn't get what she needs, she's probably going to die. 38 years old, girl I know, watch grow up. I don't know about you, but it's really upsetting, frustrating, makes me angry beyond words. Because that girl, she's one of the sweetest young ladies you'd ever meet. And they're just killing people with their lies and their agenda. Proverbs 24, verse 1. He says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Meaning we have to separate ourselves from these evil people. We have to show we are not with them. We don't agree with them. We're not going along with any part of their agenda. He says, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant wisdom. Didn't we start this with knowledge? You got to know the truth. You got to know, have real knowledge. He said, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel shalt thou make thy war. Not by any counsel, by wise counsel. Thou shalt make thy war. In the multitude of counselors there is safety. You know, right now, and I'm going to read this before I go any further with this chapter. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I'm going to read you this. Let me pull it up. There was recently a conference in Rome of doctors from all over the world that came forth with a declaration. And I want to show you this, not just Pastor Dean talking about this. But that is these doctors. And I
hang on, it may take me a second here. I have 500 tabs open, so give me a second here. I'm not lying. I have 500. That's my limit, and I'm at it. So I have to close out something here. All right. Oh, I can't. Anyway, hang on a second. Anyway, I'll tell you while I'm looking it up. The last I saw, it was 8,600 doctors had signed this declaration, basically saying this. And I'm talking about doctors and scientists from all over the world, including Dr. Robert Malone, who invented the mRNA technology. And he's the one. All right, where is this? I thought I had it ready. I guess they shut down stuff when I open other stuff, when you have that many open. Well, I can't get it open. All right, the declaration. Y'all pull it up, put it up. They talk about this very thing where they just talk about that what's happening with them being, doctors being unable to prescribe the medicine that they need to prescribe for early treatment, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, the whole, you know, some call it the McCullough protocol, the Zelenko protocols. That's been proven. One doctor has treated over 30,000 patients, and he said, we have a 99% success rate of 30-plus thousand COVID patients. Who has that kind of record around here? I had AL.com. Well, no Alabama doctors are doing it. I said, yeah, there are some. I said, but give me one Alabama doctor that actually has a peer-reviewed scientific published paper about how to treat this. Silence. You know, since he didn't publish that interview, I'm going to publish the whole recording that I made of it. It's legal in Alabama as long as one person knows the recording's happening, and I knew it was happening. But he was recording me too, so. So both of us were recording, so. But since he didn't publish it and wants to be dishonest press, he admitted that they censor me too on it. So I'm going to publish that. But anyway, the declaration, think about it. They'll have well over 10,000 probably by the end of today, and there's no telling how many more. But think about that. We're talking about Yale doctors, Harvard doctors, doctors who are heads of health departments in different countries across the world, inventors of mRNA technology. But the press and the wicked, evil medical establishment that's full of liars and people who want money, these people will tell you these doctors are freaks. These doctors are not mainstream medicine. Well, who took over mainstream medicine a long time ago? Rothschilds did. Yeah, there's a whole story. I got the whole documented book from a friend. Let's keep reading this, though. They'll find it for me. Y'all find it. To me? Hold on, because I just want to read it. You can put it up as I read it. Yeah, here we go. That's all right, though. There's articles, thousands of medical professionals. But let me just read it. Yeah, as of 5 p.m. Eastern time on October the 2nd, over 9,100 doctors and scientists have signed the Rome Declaration. Let me just read this. I think it's important for you to know. Here's some counselors for you. Here's some wise counselors. You know why they're wise counselors? Because they're telling the truth and saving people's lives by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, all these doctors. He says, we, the physicians of the world, united and loyal to the Hippocratic Oath, recognizing the profession of medicine as we know it, is at a crossroad. We are compelled to declare the following. Whereas it is our utmost responsibility and duty to uphold and restore the dignity, integrity, art, and science of medicine. Whereas there is an unprecedented assault on our ability to care for our patients.
Whereas public policymakers have chosen to force a one-size-fits-all treatment strategy, resulting in needless illness and death, rather than upholding fundamental concepts of the individualized, personalized approach to patient care, which is proven to be safe and more effective. Whereas physicians and other healthcare providers working on the front lines, utilizing their knowledge of epidemiology, pathophysiology, pharmacology, are often first to identify new, potentially life-saving treatments. Whereas physicians are increasingly being discouraged from engaging in open professional discourse, they're being censored, and the exchange of ideas about new and emerging diseases not only endangering the essence of the medical profession, but more importantly, more tragically, the lives of our patients. Whereas thousands of physicians are being prevented from providing treatment to their patients as a result of barriers put up by pharmacies, hospitals, and public health agencies, rendering the vast majority of healthcare providers helpless to protect their patients in the face of disease, physicians are now advising their patients to simply go home, allow the virus to replicate, and return when the disease worsens, resulting in hundreds of thousands of unnecessary patient deaths due to failure to treat. Now, these are almost 10,000 doctors now saying that. Whereas, this is not medicine. This is not care. These policies may actually constitute crimes against humanity. Now, therefore, it is resolved that the physician-patient relationship must be restored. The very heart of medicine is this relationship, which allows physicians to best understand their patients and their illnesses to formulate treatments that give the best chance for success while the patient is an active participant in their care. Resolve that the political intrusion into the practice of medicine and the physician-patient relationship must end. Physicians and all healthcare providers must be free to practice the art and science of medicine without fear of retribution, censorship, slander, or disciplinary action, including possible loss of licensure and hospital privileges, loss of insurance contracts, and interference from government entities and organizations, which further prevent us from caring for patients in need. More than ever, the right and ability to exchange objective scientific findings which further our understanding of disease must be protected. Resolve that physicians must defend their right to prescribe treatment, observing the first tenet, first, do no harm. Physicians shall not be restricted from prescribing safe and effective treatments. These restrictions continue to cause unnecessary sickness and death. The rights of patients, after being fully informed about the risk and benefits of each option, must be restored to receive those treatments. Resolve that we invite physicians of the world and all healthcare providers to join us at this noble cause as we endeavor to restore trust, integrity, and professionalism to the practice of medicine. And that we invite the scientists of the world who are skilled in biomedical research and uphold the highest ethical and moral standards to insist on their ability to conduct and publish objective empirical research without fear of reprisal upon their careers, reputations, and livelihoods. Resolve that we invite patients who believe in the importance of the physician-patient relationship and the ability to be active participants in their care to demand access to science-based medical care, in witness whereof the undersigned has signed this declaration as the date first written. So, boom, doctors are signing on to this by the thousands, doctors and scientists. But they're saying, clearly, there are unnecessary deaths and unnecessary injuries. And let's just go on and say it, unnecessary hospitalizations, because they're not being allowed to treat people early with these treatments that work. We know this. Troy almost died. I thank God I had a doctor that prescribed everything I needed. They're threatening his license now in the Alabama press. Just read it this morning. This is ridiculous. Now let me show you something. Proverbs. Proverbs 24, let's keep reading. Verse 7. So you try to give wisdom to people, but wisdom's too high for a fool, he says here. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth in the gate. And this is another thing. See, these people that are being silent, that know the truth, these doctors that won't sign, they know it's true. But they're scared. They want to keep their license. They want to keep their money. They don't care. They're willing to compromise the lives of their patients to keep their reputation and their license and their everything. You know, here's the thing. Some of you want to know why the Lord allows things like this to happen? Because it's the line drawn in the sand. We're finding out who's who. We're finding out who cares about people and the truth and doing the right thing versus those who choose money. Wisdom's too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Not going to say a word. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint to the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now, verse 11 and 12 is what I wanted to get to. Everybody focus on verse 11 and 12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth he not know? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? He's saying, if you hold back, you see people drawn toward death, and you do nothing. And this goes for the abortion thing, too. This is why we should be outspoken against abortion. This is why we should fight it. This is why we should speak about it in church, that it's sin, that it's murder, that it's wrong, that it shouldn't be done. We see any group, weak, poor, the oppressed, anybody drawn toward death. We cannot sit back and do nothing. God is watching this. You see, one of the reasons I'm running for governor of Alabama is because I saw this happen in our state. People were being drawn toward the death, COVID death. And our governor, lieutenant governor, state health director, many, many, many of our leaders in this state said nothing in the gate, which is the public square, as Kevin says. It's true. They said nothing. Folks, it's not always what you say. Sometimes it's what you don't say. Remember Mordecai, the uncle of Queen Esther? What did he tell her? If you keep silent at this time, you and your father's house will be destroyed, but deliverance will rise to the Jews from another place. Meaning God will find someone who will speak. God will find someone. If you won't do it, he will find someone who will. So you better do it. Because none of us get to be silent now. They're drawing people toward death. We're watching this with our own eyes. Thousands and thousands of doctors and scientists are trying to warn us, trying to give us the truth, trying to tell us the truth. Have you shared that with anybody? You hear what I'm saying? But we can take this to the next level. There's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people around us that are being drawn toward eternal damnation, eternal death, the second death. And the only cure for sin and eternal damnation is the blood of Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. Do you share that with them? Because let's just get real. All of us are going to die unless we live to the rapture. So everyone's going to die. Everyone has this appointment with death. Are we delivering those that are being drawn toward death? We talk about the cure, the treatments, the therapeutics for COVID-19 and COVID MERS and whatever else they're going to bring. We talk about that there's these treatments. But folks, even if we save someone for COVID, they're going to die of something else at some point down the road. We happen to know some of these people are dying without knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That ought to make you the most sorrowful. How many are dying and they are not born again? They don't know Jesus. A Christian has never really gotten bold and got in their face and told them the truth. The megachurch pastor told them how to deal with stress at work. Told them how to tithe. But never told them how to be born again, how to repent of sin, how to make Jesus Lord. Folks are being drawn toward death like never before.
And I talk about this because we should care. We should care about the babies being killed in the womb. We should care about people because of government intrusion and lies and an evil agenda within the government and the medical establishment. We should care these people are being drawn to. We should say something. We should get in the way. We should be bold. I mean, I tell you what, I was so upset with Baptist South or Health or where was it? Baptist East in Montgomery when Troy was in there and they were just going to let him die. And we're going to treat him. And folks, it almost made a preacher cuss when I got that patient advocate director on the line. Trust me, I had to hold back some things I wanted to say. The flesh wanted to say. Beep, 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 beep. Figured it wouldn't be good for a preacher to be saying those things. But that's how upset I was. Well, what, we should be upset. When you watch the medical profession just go, we're not treating you. You know, good luck. You might make it, you might not. What have we come to? What has America come to? You know, you might think this might happen in Russia. Just the natural affection for your fellow man. It's gone, folks. Gone. And you know one thing that Jesus said? He said the love of many is going to wax cold. We talked about this a few weeks ago. But more and more and more. And you know what's the sad thing is that if we're not careful, that can happen to us. So much chaos, so much evil, so much iniquity, all of it abounding, we could actually become kind of cold and hard and try to just hide in our own little shell, in our own little cave, and say, well, I'm not going to say anything because they don't listen to me. And if I say anything, they're going to persecute me or I'm going to lose my job. And Jesus said, there'll be the light of the world. Don't fear those that can kill the body. Don't worry about it. I mean, I believe in preparing and being secure as much as we can prepare and for our needs and security as possible. But ultimately, it's like this, Psalm 31, I think, says the Lord, you know, you can prepare the horse to the battle, but it's the Lord that ultimately will give you the victory or not. Not that he doesn't want us to prepare, but don't trust the horse. Because it's not the horse. We're in the Lord's hands. It's up to him. But do not fear. We as Christians can never, ever let fear make our decisions for us. You hear me? Y'all didn't know fear is a... Fear will be your Lord or Jesus will be your Lord. Most people make decisions based off of fear. Don't ever make a decision based off of fear. Not that you won't have fear. Fear comes. See, the heroes, the courageous, the brave ones, it's not that they don't have fear. They just don't let fear rule them. They do the right thing in spite of the fear. You hear me? We're going to have a lot of decisions to make in the days ahead. And some will be dangerous. But will you do the right thing? Will you be the light of the world, as Jesus said? Will you tell the truth? Will you expose the liars? Will you try to deliver those that are being drawn toward death? Will you be a deliverer, a preacher of righteousness, talking about rain when there's never been rain? Talking about end-time judgments when we hadn't seen end-time judgment yet. Will you be the light of the world, or will you cave to the pressure, to the fear,
to the threats, to the persecution. I'm just telling you today, you can't cave. Don't do it. Fight. Speak. You know, I got to speak to Kevin and Kelsey, and I got to speak to the House Majority Leader in the hallway on the fourth floor at the State House. And I point blank asked him, you going to put your name on Richie Horton's bill to stop the vaccine mandate discrimination against people working? No, I don't like the bill. I don't like the language of the bill. This is their bullcrap for trying to get out of it, right? You'll love this. So we talked to him, so I said, well, you know, Alabamians are losing their jobs right now because you guys didn't deal with it in the last session. You're not dealing with it in this session. And you keep kicking the can down the road, and we're going to have thousands of Alabamians losing their jobs over this vaccine mandate. And so we chit-chatted, and then Kevin talked to him about OSHA and some other things. And he gave us all his little excuses. But when we got down there, I said, so let me ask you again. You going to put your name on this bill or not? And then he tried to say, well, not that bill. And I said, he goes, well, I don't like the language. I said, you guys can tweak this in committee, can't you? You can get it all down to where you want it. I said, the one thing we want out of this is that employers cannot say, this is our policy. If you don't take the vaccine, you're fired. You're out of here. That's what we want. As long as y'all get that in there, clear as a bell, you know, you're going to put it, no, I'm not. He's not going to put his name on it. So we walked away, shook his hand, walked away. The next day, he put his name on it. Now, but a lot didn't. It was only ended up at 105, only 20, what was it, 26? 23, 26, something like that. But let me tell you something, getting in his face about it, handing him my card, D-Noto for governor, he knows I'm going to make it an issue across the state. So your name better be on it, or I'm going to tell everybody why it's not. I'm going to tell everybody. And he wants to be the next Speaker of the House. So I guess he figured, he couldn't go to sleep that night. Maybe I ought to put my name on it, even though he probably intends to do nothing with it. We'll see, because follow through is what we need. You know, you can get up to bat, but you got to swing the bat. Right? So we'll find out. But folks, I tell you, you know, it might not be running for governor that God calls you, but it might be getting in somebody's face that you would never get in their face. Look, this whole mess has made me, I went and set 2 hours of torture in John Merrill's new election fraud task force meeting in a freezing basement room, voter fraud task force meeting. It wasn't voter fraud, yeah. It was painful. But it was good for me to be there because we learned a few things. Like they want to, they're talking about lessening the punishment, taking prison time out of the equation for voter fraud and election fraud. And we're like, what? Did I hear that correctly? Yeah, so it wasn't a burden on the prison system. But let me tell you something. If it's just a slap on the wrist or a fine, Soros will be glad to pay those fines off as long as he gets the results of an election that he wants in Alabama. So, no, that's not going to fly. So we're going to be in their face about that one. No, you need to go to jail, straight to jail. Yeah. Even the rhino governor of Texas just did an article yesterday about how he wants to strengthen the laws for voter and election fraud. And I was like, the rhinos do it. But we got the Alabama Secretary of State talking about lessening the crime. And even defiantly even saying, if you want to go from here saying that John Merrill says that we're going to lessen the punishment for voter crime. You can. I'm not scared. Well, okay. Now you done it. You know, my father-in-law says you don't know until you done it. Well, we know now because he done it. So now I'm going to tell everybody. And see, I have proof. I was in the room. We recorded the whole thing. I heard it with my own two ears. Not hearsay.
Now I'm going to tell everybody. But this is what we have to do. Because these jokers have their little committee room meetings, and they try to show their bipartisan love for one another. It was nauseating. Right? Because I'm going to straight up tell a Democrat, I don't like you. I don't like anything about your policies, and we're not friends. We're not on the same team here. That's just the way it is. We're way past bipartisanship now. We're way past that. I mean, how can I sit down and kiss your butt if you want to kill little babies in the womb? I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. When I know you want to bring socialism and make it the norm in America. No. We're not having lunch together. I'm not talking about how wonderful you are. No, you're a devil. I wonder if those Republicans trying to love up on all the Democrats in that room, I wonder if they were just, because that's what they really are. They're all Democrats. You know? But see, you know something? I should have been involved like this a long time ago. We all should be. We've let them get away with it. I found out you get in their face about stuff, and you get enough people in their face about stuff, they start changing their attitude. Now, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't have to be that way. But that's the way it is. Because the powers out there and the big money out there pushes them to do things they shouldn't do. Pushes them to do things that people that voted for them don't want them to do. And we sit back and let the other side push and push and give money and give money. And then we wonder why we have rhinos. Some of them weren't rhinos when they started. They became that because they didn't hear from us. They need to hear from us. And it's on every level, folks. The doctors, all these doctors that won't treat patients, stop going to them. If everybody changes doctors, guess what? Their money dries up. Soon the pharmaceutical reps that come in their office won't be giving them any money under the table because there won't be any patients to push their bad drugs to. Won't be giving them the free samples anymore. I don't know how many doctors have handed me free samples. I'm like, wow, if you got this many free samples to hand out, you must be getting a lot from the farm reps. Now, this is evil what's happening in America. Pharmaceutical companies should not be allowed to give money to a politician or a doctor or a hospital or an insurance company. My goodness, we could go down the list there, couldn't we? Evil. You know, Thomas Gallagher III, who wrote the Shadow Government Southern Style, he said this. He said, you know, our government now has become a system. And that's not just our government, but the medical system, everything, has become nothing more than a system of bribery. Truth goes out the door. Decisions go to the, you know, policies made by the top bidder. It's ridiculous. Well, folks, it's actually 12 o'clock. I want you to stand this morning. I think I got my message across. We're called to be the light of the world, the truth of the world. And Jesus said, the world will hate you. Why? Yep. And y'all need to be praying that the rumors about the Ebola corona gain of function is not true. And they don't try it next. Because you want to see people in hysteria. And think about this. Think about, you know, they mix corona and SARS. They mix corona and MERS. Let's say they mix corona and MERS and Ebola.
And now the doctors that have learned to treat COVID 1 and 2, part of its blood thinners they give you. But the third one's a bleeding out disease, and you get a blood thinner. It's diabolical. See, and I think that they were running tests on that Ebola stuff that happened in Africa a few years ago. That's when they were testing remdesivir on African Ebola patients and killing most of them. I mean, when they pull something they're testing in Africa, it must be bad because they don't care. I mean, look, folks, like I've said, African Americans ought to be furious with the pharmaceutical company, with Bill Gates and that whole crew. Because they've used Africa as just their little test area for too many years. Africa and India, actually. We have someone from India here this morning. Actually, in India, they've done it too. Bill Gates, they've tested their vaccines and their sterility stuff in these vaccines. You want to talk about racist? That's pretty racist. But now they don't care. It's everybody. They really want to wipe out. In America, they want to wipe out, too, the white evangelical voter that votes conservative. That's why I think they designed this one to really take out older people. And men. It's worse on men than it is on women. I mean, you know they designed this thing. They spent years working on tweaking all the little caveats that they wanted in this thing. It's evil. I want to do that song again, though, before we go. He's the lover of my soul. Because you know something? In all of this craziness, Christian, you got to remember, number one, he loves us. With not one hair on our head. You understand? He loves us. I mean, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He watches over us. And even that day that it does happen, that death comes to us, he says that day is a precious day to him. But he didn't let that day happen until it's supposed to happen. Because he loves it. He's the lover of our soul. He's the keeper of our heart. See, he's the one. If you look to him, and know he's with you. That's why he says, you're standing here, Lord. I know that you're standing here. And we will never be apart. This is what we have to remind ourselves. When we're in the fire, he'll be with us. If the fire does get us, we'll be with him like that. There is nothing to fear. The sting of death. We don't fear the sting of death. In fact, he's delivered us from the sting of death. We won't even feel it. It'll be like walking from one room to another room. And then we get our bodies back. And then we get on a horse and ride back with him. And then you get to tell the one that puts you in the guillotine, I told you I'd be back. It'll be like Arnold, I'll be back. That's what I'm going to tell them. I'll be back. So look out, because I'm going to come find you. I said, Jesus, he's the one that did it right there, that one. I'm going to tell Daddy. He did it, Lord. Okay, we'll take care of that one. All right, let's worship the Lord. 7 minutes. Let's worship the Lord.
Caused me pain.
things I just don't understand. I must recount your faithfulness and the mercy of your hand. When everything is said and done, and there's nothing left to say, the cross of Christ is proof enough. You are good. You are good.
You are good, Lord. You are good.
hand of God. How sweet to be the friend of God. Oh, to be a friend of God. How sweet to be.
Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, anybody out there watching, anybody here today that doesn't know what it means to be a friend of God, to be truly at peace, the enmity gone, Lord, and you said that in your word in Ephesians that you dealt with that enmity between us and you, between you and the human race, the sins, the rebellion of the human race. You dealt with that through the cross, the death of Jesus, the atoning death of Jesus on the cross. And his resurrection from the dead. If you're out there and you don't know if you're a friend of God, you don't know if you're born again, you don't know if you're saved and you're ready to die or go into eternity, all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God came in the flesh, lived a sinless life, died on the cross as a sacrifice and an atoning sacrifice for your sins. And he rose from the dead on the third day, and that you understand that he hates sin, wants you to repent and turn from it, take up your cross and become his true disciple by living for him according to the Bible, the Word of God. If you'll do that, and you'll seek him, you'll find him. You knock and it will be open. You will know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit will come and bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Do it today if you haven't done it. It's a choice. Give up this world system, sin, rebellion, lust. Give up this world system, chasing after its money. And put Jesus first. Put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. He knows what you have need of. Give Jesus your entire life. Pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Somebody gave their life to the Lord today. I believe that. I feel that in my spirit. Somebody said, you know what? I'm doing that today. Go ahead and praise God this morning. We'll hear from them. We'll hear from them. We usually do. Yeah, if you did that today or recently, send me an email or send me a message and let me know. All right, Fire and Grace people here today. We got Fire and Grace people out there too, but Fire and Grace people here today, you know the rule. Hug some necks before you leave, and we're eating downstairs. All right, God bless.